Ask the podcast coach for March 19th, 2016.
Let's get ready to podcast.
All right, we're stumbling through it. It's March 19th, and it is Saturday at 10:30 Eastern Standard Time. And it's time for you to get your podcast questions answered live. Welcome to Ask the Podcast Coach. I am Dave Jackson from the School of Podcasting, and joining me over there, having a good laugh at my expense. Actually, I'm having a good laugh at my expense, is the one and only Jim Collison from TheAverageGuy.tv. How's it going, Jim?
Greetings, Dave. Happy Saturday morning to you. It was a funny start and probably one of the reasons you need to join us live on Saturday mornings, because you're not going to catch that part in the recorded version. But pretty hilarious. Welcome welcome back to you, too. It seems like you and I have been these trading Saturday mornings. I'm hoping we're going to be on track here for the next couple months.
Yeah, it's been fun. I was actually out of town this week. I was working in Pittsburgh. I stayed at the Libsyn office all the week. And that's...
Is that something you're doing, like, to get just kind of ramped up and then you're going to work from home? Or how's that going to work? You're not going to go to Pittsburgh every week, are you?
No. We had somebody on vacation, and there was a really good chance that Crystal, who I work with, was going to get really tied up covering that guy. And so just to make communication a little more efficient, they had me go over there, which was fine. They stuck me in a really nice hotel, which was real. I'm like, man, this thing's nicer than my apartment.
How far is it for you?
It's like an hour and a half.
Yeah, that's a piece of cake. I didn't realize Pittsburgh that was that close.
Me neither. And it depends. It's either an hour and a half or an hour and 45 minutes, depending on when you leave. But
and that depends on your view of Pittsburgh. It's good or bad, depending on how you see Pittsburgh.
Yeah, but everybody's asking about my little guy. I've had a Zoom H5. I still have the Roland R-05. Nothing wrong with this one. I just like the H5 because I can plug mics directly into it. And I believe it was Stargate Pioneer. He said, I'm going to send you something in the mail. And I'm thinking this was it. And it's a little wired remote control that I can actually see my recording levels. You'll see where they occasionally blink, which means I'm a little too loud maybe, but it's pretty cool. So that way now, last week I had the recorder sitting behind me. I actually have it now sitting in front of me, but if it was behind me, it'd be a cool way to kind of, control things. The thing I like about the H5 is when you pause it, it puts a marker in the file so you can go back later. And if there's an edit point or things of that nature. But we didn't, I'm going to play this just for old time's sake.
I was thinking the other day, I hadn't heard this in a while.
Yeah. If there's an open seat right there. Now what that means is if you have a question, you click on that, come on in, we answer your question. We do prefer you have a question. That's the only really the thing. If you just come in to, hear yourself talk, we prefer you do that.
Questions are nice. Yeah. That's why we do this.
Questions are nice. The other thing in the news, I will put this in the chat room. If you go to GoFundMe.com/podcast awards, the podcast awards are up for, they're going to redo the website, and they're looking for sponsorship to help with that because apparently it's expensive. I guess they're not just going to, because there's a lot of technology behind that, because again, this is something where people vote. So you can't just put up a WordPress site with a $10 plugin because people will spam that to death.
Well, yeah, you could, but there's big problems.
Yeah.
It, right. And then people complain that it's not fair and it wasn't done right. And so I think Todd does a lot of work to make sure this is fair. I mean, that's just kind of the way he's built.
Yeah.
It's like, this is going to be done. It's going to be done right. And it's going to be done fair. So I think it's good that he's bringing it back. Right. Cause this, when
New Media Expo,
when that
took it over for a year and, that didn't,
when it died,
it
was gone, right? The awards went with it.
Yeah, basically. There's legal things that I can't say.
Oh, okay. All right. I don't want to put you in a bad spot.
The full handoff to Todd never took place, or from Todd to us never fully. We kind of like half shook on it and then kind of did not. So, but,
It needs to be done, right? I mean, at this point, the expo is not going on and we need to have some awards. Right?
And that's the whole thing. It's going to be fun. Yeah. It is $25,000 to redo a website. I was kind of with you on that. I was like, really? But
have you hired a designer lately?
Yeah. I'm going to say I usually know it's,
or just anybody to do the web work for you. I mean, that's it. Anytime you go off of the reservation from a basic WordPress site, it gets expensive fast. So pick or choose on the dollar amount. I don't know for sure, but for it's anytime you're getting a person involved, it's going to get expensive pretty fast.
Sean P. Kelly asks, anyone know the timeline for shows to show up in Spotify? Let's see. If you submit it today, number one, chances are you're not going to get accepted. Don't know why. It's a very, very, very slow, very manual process. And again, kind of with my view from Libsyn, there are people that are getting rejected that you're like, really? So it's a slow, slow process. And the last time I looked at my Spotify stats, you're not missing much. I'm glad it's there, but I think they could have handled that a little better. Like for me, the School of Podcasting, if you want to listen to the School of Podcasting in Spotify, you have to go to shows and then search for School of Podcasting. Now they have 8 billion little thumbnails, all of which are, you guessed it, Mark Maron, NPR, This American Life, yada, yada, yada. But if you want to find my show, you have to search for it. So I get maybe double digits, 10, 12 downloads a month from Spotify. It is going up a little bit.
Any of those services, right? You have to it's going to be your promotion that's going to make them successful.
Yeah.
I think that's one of the things I've learned with any of the SoundCloud or MixCloud or Shout Engine, right? None of those work unless you're hustling to drive people to them to use them. I don't think anybody, and I think maybe you mentioned this last week on School Podcasting, the 1,000 or 1,500 or whatever that number is of podcasts that are getting added every week are diluting the space, and it's getting harder and harder to be found. And so you're going to have to hustle it.
We are going to have to say the dreaded words.
No.
New and noteworthy in a second. Cause wait till I got a post that everybody in there, I'm promoting this thing and it's not my post, left and right, that, Daniel J. Lewis from the audacitytopodcast.com did. We're holding our fingers as we're, hoping Michael Ray will make it in here, but,
he's just down the street from me, by the way. He lives literally. I could be
just walk down. Yeah. Just walk down
10 minutes. I could, Mike, just get in your car, Michael, and come down here. We'll get in the averageguy.tv studios.
What this is, which is really interesting, is Daniel made this post, and it's one of those things where, and why we didn't notice this before, if you go into the actual categories of iTunes, you will see where there are ratings in the actual categories, like technology and whatever, business and marketing. But, and you'll see little numbers next to that. When you go into the new and noteworthy section, there's no numbers. So when somebody says, I'm the number one podcast in new and noteworthy, no, you're not. Because Daniel showed how there's some show, I forget the name of it, that has like two episodes and like maybe four reviews. Right next to it is Alice is Dead, which is this show from the people that do Welcome to Night Vale, which I'm sure is getting bazillions of downloads and it's got lots of reviews and lots of such and such. And yet it's number whatever, two or three compared to this one. Thus, new and noteworthy is not a chart. So when somebody says I went up the charts of new and noteworthy, we're thinking it's not a chart. And Danny, if you want to hop in here, feel free. But it's one of those things where it's like, okay, that's interesting.
Like, I'm going to go out on a limb, Dave, though. I think I'll just be, let me play devil's advocate. Okay. That's kind of my job here, right? to bring the other side. I think lately what I'm sensing in the last couple of weeks, we've dogged on these folks that are obsessed about new noteworthy, but we keep talking about it.
That is true.
We're obsessing about it ourselves. I wonder if we are, if we become part of the problem just by talking about it as much as we do. Let's let people think, although, you've got the card and it says number one and hey, it's marketing and whatever. Well,
here's the,
my buddy, Mike Howard, right? He has on his website, like the number one photography podcast that does live shows on Tuesday nights at 7 o'clock.
Nice. Right? One of those.
And it's we kind of joke about it. We kind of laugh and joke about it. It's a funny way of doing it. And I get that. But I think at some point as a podcast community, we need to let this rest. Like just let it. It was like SoundCloud for a while. Like just let it go.
Yeah.
It's like, okay. Anyway. So well, here's
you guys ready for an awkward moment?
Yes.
Last week I was talking about an article by a certain author and I get home and here I get in the mail a note that says, hope all is well on your side. Always good to see you. Congrats on your new gig with Libsyn. So he sent this before I completely bagged his article. Yeah. And
I was in favor of it.
Yeah. Now with that, he also sent me two business cards that explained that he is number one in new and noteworthy. And to make a long story short, he broke up with me. We had a text exchange. I actually did call him and he didn't, he just said, we're done. So
yeah,
I will say this. I did revise my comment on the Huffington Post thing to just reflect those things that were facts. And I took my opinion out.
Yeah. I think to go back to the Huffington Post article just from last week, I do again, I think if you didn't hear it, and I'll say it, he outlines some awesome ways to hustle. And I think if you can take those, you know, the new noteworthy stuff we can do with or without, depending on where you're from. But he outlines some great ways in that article. I think if we miss that, a lot of podcasters say, how do I increase my listenership? He's got the key in there. I mean, one of them, and his hustle is good. So I think if you can kind of unwrap it a little bit and maybe not, you know, on that part, but there's some really good advice in there, I think, on how to grow your audience. One of the tricks this week, I mean, I grew my Twitter on my Gallup side. So I have a Gallup account for Twitter. I grew it 400 this week just by Twitter searches and following people based on a certain search, as well as I have this Slack integration. I mentioned it in the post show last week. I have this Slack integration that searches Twitter for anytime someone says StrengthsFinder. Now, this works great for me because I have this very, very defined search term that I can use for Twitter, but then it drops it into a Slack group and kind of records it for me. And then I come in the mornings as I'm eating breakfast, I'm following people and engaging with the audience out of that Slack group. That allows me to kind of store those up without having, you know, kind of Twitter's kind of a mess to find things on. And so I went from 600 to 1100 this week, just engaging my audience. And so there's some great things you can
do. Novel idea.
Yeah. Just talk to them. Yeah. Like I followed them. I liked a few of their, you know, they tweet their strengths, right? And so I go back and I like that, or love it, or heart it, or whatever you call it on Twitter. And guess what? I got a few of them to even engage back with me. Oh, hey, I've seen you on the podcast and blah, blah, blah. So there are some things you can do. That's the hustle, I think, that he's referring to a little bit in that article. And I think there's certain things we spend, Dave, so much time trying to game the system. If sometimes we just took all that energy of figuring out how we gamed it and we just engaged with the people who listen, I think we'd find higher engagement and better engagement in our podcast community. So just turn some of that energy into actually really talking to people.
I have an example of this. There's a friend of my sister's who's we'll call him Roger, because his name is Roger. And and Roger, unfortunately, when he was in high school, he had a brain tumor. And we were like, wow, Roger's, you're done. He's cooked, right? Well, they operated on it and he lived and it's never come back. But he gets disability. And the effort, now, for the record, from what I've seen, Roger's not, he doesn't have any problems. I mean, you know, yay, miracles, kudos. I'm glad he's alive. Nice guy. But the amount of time he puts in to finding jobs where he can work under the table so he can still get his disability, I'm like, if you would just use your powers for good, because the hustle he puts in to go under, I'm like, dude, if you just use your powers for good. You want to, Ryan K. Parker.
Let me talk about it. Because if you were an awesome supporter, you'd already know this. We talked about it last week. Right. So askthepodcastcoach.com/awesome and just get signed up for that. Support Dave and you'll get some of our bonus content. But if you go into Slack and you choose so you have a Slack room, and in this case, I have one called StrengthsFinder that we set up. And if you go to, there's a place called Apps and Integrations. And if you log into if you go into that section and you have to hit the configure button, it'll show a it'll show a splash page, and then you go to configure. Twitter is one of those one of those integrations that you can choose. So we're going to do a custom integration. We're going to add Twitter to it. I'm going to click on the Twitter integration, and then I'm going to choose every time someone tweets whatever phrase that I want. Then move it. It's like an if this then that built in. By the way, you can do this on if this then that too. This is another way of doing it. But it's just a search term. Every time they say this on Twitter, drop it to this. And if this then that has a Slack integration as well. Move it to this room or this channel, I think is the right term in Slack. Move it to this channel and it'll just all it'll do is spin on that account, on your account in Twitter. And anytime somebody says that, boom, it drops it into that room or that channel on Twitter. And there you have, or on Slack, there you have it. It's captured. And then I go back a couple times a day and go to that channel and I just work through the various people who said something. So I click on it. It drops what they tweeted and it drops the actual link to it on Twitter, which is cool. So I go to the actual link on Twitter. If I need to respond to it, I do. If I need to like it, I do. If I need to do something with it, I do. But, and you can do this, by the way, you don't have to use Slack. You could use a Google Sheet to do it. You could drop it in that way. You don't have to use Slack and you don't have to use If This and That. You could use Social Bro, which actually just changed their name.
Really?
They changed their name to AudiSense, AudiSense. I thought it was terrible. I was like, oh, that's a terrible name. But because I can't pronounce it. Like, and it's one of those names that doesn't make sense. But if you still go to socialbro.com, it'll redirect you to that. They have a rule builder inside it at Social Bro, where I, like today, I built a rule that says anytime someone follows me, I want to send a direct message back to them that says this, right? There's some ways to automate it. The thing I like, Dave, about doing it the way this is Slack integration or Google Hangouts or Google Sheets, whatever, is that you're still touching it. It's not completely automated.
Right.
And I think people sense that, right? I think they sense when it's 100% automated, you know.
I know, Jess and Elsie did a whole thing on She Podcast about how, in fact, there's Miss Eileen in the chat room saying most people hate auto DMs unless you acknowledge that this is an auto DM. So if it's something like, you know, hey, welcome to my auto DM, I would like to get to know you though, or something like that. But if it's, the problem is when people ask for something via a DM, hey, thanks for following me, buy my book. That's just like, and unfollow.
Well, and I put, in the auto DMs for StrengthsFinder, I put the link to our coaches site. Hey, we got a ton of free resources on our coaching site. Not selling them anything, just, hey, it's free. And a lot of those people that have taken StrengthsFinder, this is another connection into the organization for them. I have gotten lots of thanks and I've gotten nobody that said, you're an idiot. Like, stop spamming. So while I agree with Eileen that I don't think a lot of people like it, I think if you can do it in a way that adds value, that's the trick, right? If it adds value, people love it.
Yeah. That's always the key. It's when it's
nobody hates auto things. They hate auto things that suck, you know, or don't have value or spam, or, you know, there's lots of automated processes that I live by.
Yeah.
You know, I want them to be automated, but because they add value, but when they just suck, when you're just spamming somebody hard, I don't know about that. So anyways, that is a little trick and a little tip on how to put automation in your favor. And it takes an enormous amount of work, but Dave, I do it in the gaps. Like, so I've got 10 minutes between, I'm sitting there waiting for a meeting to start at the top of the hour. And I got 10 minutes. I pop over to Slack. I do three or four of them, right? There's just always a list of ways for me to engage with in my audience that way. And so maybe there's a phrase or a term or something that you can tweet or you can follow on Twitter that allows you to have a real conversation with somebody via Twitter. And I get some great engagement that way.
Yeah. If Michael Ray is still in the chat room, I know Michael tried to come in a couple of times and just couldn't get there.
I'm using my laptop out in the garage and I was just,
You sound like you're a million miles away though.
Yeah. Sorry about that.
What's your question, Mike?
My question is, as I'm sitting here in this shop, could you use Blab for doing like online, how to build a box, how to build a couch or something like that?
Sure.
Makes sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, as long as that camera can be pointed at whatever you're doing, you know, you could do that. Exactly.
Yeah. And this might be, Michael, this might be one of those situations where you move your camera off the laptop where like a, you know, C920 that's got the ability to move, you know, to you screw onto a tripod or whatever, or you could back the camera up, move it away. I like some of those, you know, they got movable arms on them where you can maybe get the camera up and down, pointing down so you can kind of see the top of the bench. But yeah, why couldn't you? I mean, you could even add multiple, and I've done this before. I've even added multiple angles from the same space. So in other words, I have a camera coming this way and then maybe a camera coming down. And those could both be in the Blab and both be from the same location. And I like to have a second account to run that here.
Yeah. You'd have to have two Twitter accounts.
And a separate PC.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're talking about two pieces of equipment to get this done, but you could do that.
And then right. Mike Phillips has a good point. You'd probably want a lav mic because if you're far away from your laptop, it's going to sound like caca. But, and while we're at it, just to keep things not so simple anymore, get a cameraman. You know, somebody holding the C920 going, here's Jim showing the, you know, here's that thing. And, you know, so they could point it that way. But in terms of just a point and shoot, I don't know that would be. Because, again, the number one thing in video a lot of times is audio first, then lighting. So if you're doing it and you're like, here it is, and I'm this far away from the microphone, that may not.
Michael, your lighting is good there, though, by the way. I mean, that's a good. Yeah it's pretty good in that room.
Might be
yeah.
better to do that on your phone. You know what I mean? Have somebody just film it with your phone and then upload it to YouTube. Might be a better way.
Could be too. I was just thinking something kind of interactive that, because I listened to Jim and who's that fellow, Mike Dell. They was doing a podcast about workflow.
Yeah.
And you're kind of right off a blab recording into a thing like that there, and you do very little post-processing, whatever. And I'm thinking, why not? You know, that would be. Because I can actually kill two birds with one stone. One being I can have a recording, and two, I can have something live. And if it works, it works. On the live part, it does. If it doesn't, but on the recording part, that would be good. So,
yeah. No, good stuff.
Do I look scary?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yes.
Just a little.
All right, Michael. Take care, man. Good seeing you. Literally down the street from me.
So there's a guy down the street with a hacksaw.
I know. I'm locking the doors as we speak. No, Michael's a good guy.
No, Kim's
good old mom guy.
Yeah, Kim's question was, she's getting ready to launch a second podcast on the same website, and she was wondering, do I go podcast channels or do I use category podcasting? And I believe I've heard Mike say on his show channels.
Channels. I think that's the recommendation from Blueberry.
And then you can go into the chant. Yeah. Okay. Mike says lots of exclamation points there. Yeah. So it's,
yeah, but to be fair, and Mike Dell's going to hate I say this. So all my audio podcasts, I started before the channel thing really came up. So they're all on the category. And then when I added video, it's a great opportunity to add that, you know, cause channel really works well with multiple audio sources type deal. And so, I have two different video sizes and I use channels and they work great and I use them together and I've never had a problem. That doesn't mean you won't, but I think if you're starting, the advice is start with channels from the very beginning. For me, I've mixed categories and channels together and they work just fine. I haven't had any problem, but I'm sure Mike Dell sees the problems and you will too. There we go. Dave at Lipson is they get a little sideways on some people.
Yeah. If you add a, Mike says, if you add a category to an existing website, the main feed will have all podcasts in that category.
That is my problem. I do have that problem.
Categories work great if you start with them. Yeah. And I think there was a problem too. If you add multiple categories to a post, then it gets a little tricky, if I remember right.
Yeah. Andy says that's his problem as well. Yeah. If you're starting, start on the channel side for sure.
Yeah. So that's, and the other thing I always say is you'll see when you go in, you can color code them. Because what happens when you go into a post, you'll see a link there for your original, the one that goes with the feed. And then you'll see, you know, and you can name them. And I always change the color so that I sent the podcast coach down the School of Podcasting, I think once feed or vice versa. But, Chris Nessie asks here, what are some of the must have WP plugins for podcasters when you begin building on WP?
None of them.
Yeah,
those are the best.
Only the ones you need. I like Yoast SEO. If you're gonna, you know, if you want, you can use PowerPress is a great plugin. Even if you're not using Blueberry, realize you can use that plugin with anybody. Even do I dare say SoundCloud?
Or even if you, I do private hosting, right? I have my own media hoster. I don't know where my brain is this morning, but yeah, you can just, all you need is an MP3, right? It doesn't matter where you're hosting.
I think it's called Shareaholic. If it's not built into your theme, it puts buttons at the bottom for people to share your post out.
There's a bunch of those.
Yeah. Be careful with that one because they added a thing sometime last year where they will put advertising if you don't uncheck it. So that's why I was like, oh, I see what you've done here. So yeah, there's a ton of those.
What's the spam one? It's like a
Kismet.
Must.
Yeah.
A Kismet, right? That's a must. You turn that on, number one, get your free. They try some trickery too when you set that up to get them to support them, right? But you can do it for free.
It's hilarious. That keeps
the spam down.
Yeah, it's hilarious because when you go to sign up, it looks like you have to pay, but you can move the slider all the way down to the, and when you get down to zero, it puts this little frowny face like, I don't,
So, a little social engineering.
Yeah, so you can get that. Those are probably the biggies. I mean, from that, it's like, you know, like people talk about you can get plugins to put MailChimp on your website. Well, you can also just get the code and throw it in a text box.
Well, we said in the beginning of the year, right? This would be the year of players. We called it, by the way. I just want the world to know that. We called year of players. And there's a bunch of different players you can add in as plugins. And so, and I was just listening to, I'm listening to Mike Dell's voice talking about the, or maybe it was yours, talking about there's three major ones in the market and some play well with others and some don't. And so you got to kind of, you know, you got to kind of figure out what you're going to use as a player. I don't know, Dave, let me ask you this. Seriously, do you get that much lift from a player on your website? I mean, this is like more of our podcasts are being listened to on audio devices than ever.
Right.
Do you get that much lift from a sexy player?
I think the only way you would be if you had a, you know, show about World War II. No, it's even that's, I'm thinking of something where your audience is like not technical at all. And they're going to be listening on the website. The other thing I heard this on a show in Australia, iTunes and apps, everybody listens on a website in Australia. And I was like, I did not know that. That's one person saying that. So for what it's worth,
we're a bad audience to ask that too, by the way, because we all know how to do it.
Yeah.
But I'm kind of thinking about the average guy.
Yeah. I just bought the CoolCast player just to play with it. It looks cool. It doesn't do all the stuff that Hanny's does, but it looks better than some other players. And I like the buttons. I haven't played with it yet, but that's the one that Ravi from Digital Access Pass put together. And I do plan on launching just to play with stuff. I'm going to launch a podcast called Because of My Podcast and just use those clips to do some experimenting with.
I am seeing a trend with players where they're putting the one times, you know, 1.2, 1.5. Those are embedded into the web players now. So you can go there and listen at 1.5. We were going to talk about this last week and we didn't, but that aw sound, awesound.com, he's kind of doing a hosting like site. Mm-hmm. And his player at the bottom of the page has that option to speed it up if you want. And so it's fun to see some of those technologies come to the web players. I think that could be useful, right? That could be on one of those. If you have a web player, we've always just been able to click play, but some of the newer ones are coming out with the ability to skip, you know, 30 seconds ahead, speed it up, mark it, clamor it, some of those kinds.
I think it was on the feed that Rob Walsh said like 15% of plays come from a website. And I was like, wow, we're getting all worked up about, you know, something that in theory could be 15% of our audience. Any other WordPress? I can't think of any other plugins that I really go bonkers over that I'm like, you know, I've actually started de-emphasizing, like I used to have all my Twitter buttons, like follow me on Twitter, Facebook. I'm going to put that stuff down now at the bottom of the page because I realize that when people do that, I'm sending them away. Oh, Pretty Link. That's a good one, Daniel. Yeah. Pretty Link is a must have.
For sure.
Yes. Pretty Link Pro.
That's just becoming a necessity.
That's how you do, like if you go to schoolofpodcasting.com/start, that takes you to where you can sign up and I can go and see, I have the pro version so I can see how many people click on that. And number two, it takes them right to my sales page. Schoolofpodcasting.com/iTunes takes you to my iTunes listing. So that's the one that makes all the hence pretty links. So, but the key is just because you can do it on, you know, in a plugin doesn't always mean you should, you know, because those, the more plugins you add, and again, if they're all written by respectable, honorable, you know, there's more chance of things getting, having conflicts with each other. So I try to keep my plugins down to stuff that I absolutely need. And if I do, like, I remember once I added a find and replace plugin because I needed to do a bunch of finding and replacing stuff. And I did that. Got it, did the job great, and then I took it right off. I was like, because that's, you know, you're, if that app developer leaves it undeveloped, and it could become a hack door, things like that. So, but those are the ones that
Emily's got a Libsyn question, since you're
a Libsyn question. Yes. I have the 250 megabyte plan in Libsyn, but only use around 125 each. Is there anything else I can use? Bonus episodes for your newsletter? Video? Any kind of audio or video? PDFs? Anything you want, really? I mean, it's just like a big Dropbox at that point.
Yeah, you don't feel like you have to use it.
Yeah, you know? It is one of those things you're like, I'm paying for it. I should be doing it.
I know. So, I know. It's one of the drawbacks to that kind of plan, to be honest. You know, from that standpoint. Hey, Andy had asked, and Andy Sokolovich, who, by the way, is an awesome supporter.
So he is an awesome supporter.
For supporting. Andy had asked a question. He's busy and working a lot. You know, he took a full-time job, and his podcast took a back, you know, it's kind of taken a back seat, put on the back burner, so to speak. Any tips for those kinds of podcasters when you think about, you know, what do you do when you get that full-time job becomes a little bit more than full-time?
Well, one of the exercises that I do every now and then is I will take a piece of paper and I will write 1 to 24 on it. And I wake up and I can see that from 12, you know, from maybe basically you want to write down what you're doing every hour. And it's always amazing that, like, last night I got home, I had all this stuff to do. I had to get asked the podcast coach out, a couple other things. And I got home and I was tired and sat down and started watching TV. And I was eating my dinner, but I must have spent 20 minutes going through the channels, going through what my DVR had recorded to find something to watch. And I was like, how about you just eat your vegetables and go to work? So we spent a lot of time just doing stuff that I know when I go on YouTube, I have to be very careful because I can just get sucked into who knows what, you know. And there are times when you find some really cool stuff on YouTube, but there are a lot of times that I'm just like, what, you know. When I was bored in Pittsburgh, I watched about 20 minutes of a show called In for 30 or something like that. These people go to jail for 30 days just for kicks, I guess, just to see what it's like. And it was interesting, but I was like, this is not helping me get my stuff done. Yeah, Sean P. in the chat room says squirrel. That's it. So, and you kind of have to, you know, you
prioritize, cut some of those things out that, you know, are. And I like the inventory idea, Dave, of inventorying a week and seeing kind of like, oh, hey, there's some open spaces. I'm a big fan of then scheduling your actual podcast production time. So for me, full time, I have more than a full time job. I have like 3 full time jobs at Gallup. So they keep me plenty busy. And I find time to do a weekly podcast. Now, one, I lowered the expectations for the podcast. So it's like, it's going to be one and done. Like it's a one take wonder. We're not going to screw around with it. Two, I'm going to make the process as efficient. So Thursday night's recording, Friday night, I download it and do some basic editing. Saturday morning, I upload everything and write the show notes. Saturday afternoon, I promote it. And I can break those down into modules, which allow me. So, okay, so Saturday morning, the kids have something and I can't make it. Okay, I can move that module to Saturday afternoon. Then I've got Sunday morning, maybe to promote it. Maybe I might have to get up early on Sunday to get that done. I might have to hustle a little bit, sacrifice something to get that done. But I've got these kind of, Andy, I've got these modules kind of set up of all the things I have to do. And I do them in these, they're usually about 1 hour blocks. So I kind of know once I sit down, I'm going to sit down for about an hour and I'm going to get this done. So that's one way of doing it. And then two, I mentioned it just a second ago. I try to squeeze things in between those gaps, those 10 or 15 or 20 minute gaps. So if I'm standing in line somewhere, if I'm sitting in a hotel room and I got 20 minutes before I need to go somewhere, I jump on Crowdfire and I start following some people, or I jump on Twitter and start answering some things, or I get on Facebook and start interacting. So using those times in between the cracks, so to speak, has been very, very valuable to me.
That's what I do. I use Feedly, and I use OneNote and Evernote because I can't figure out which one I like better. But I will go through Feedly, which is a feed reading program, feedly.com, and I can see all this content that's going in. And if I want to talk about it on my show, I then save it to either, most of the time I've been sending it to OneNote, which is free. Evernote's also free. And that's part of my flow, so that when I finally do get time, I go into OneNote and say, here's what we're going to talk about on the show today, or here's some topics and things like that. But speaking of Andy, I should mention he is an awesome supporter at askthepodcastcoach.com/awesome, as is Dale Henninger, Michael Ray, as well as Corey Finneran. Mike, by the way, ADHDthinktank.com, Corey from IVNV.com, Ed Bubbero from InsideOutZone.com, Jim Collison from TheAverageGuy.tv, David Wilson. I need his website. Let's see. Rue L's Running Podcast, Seattle Seahawks Podcast, Inglés Podcast, and of course, Glenn the Geek from Horse Radio Network, who I was watching what Glenn was doing on the weekend on his Facebook. And here again, Glenn is doing what you're supposed to be doing. He's out at an event with his core audience, mingling and finding sponsors. I'm sure if Glenn is there, he's finding sponsors. And I was like, yep, that's what you do.
You got to overturn. That's the word. You have to overturn every rock when you're looking for advertisers, right? You got to talk to a lot of people. Some of them, I think when we think of advertising, a lot of people think, well, I'm going to ask two people and get two. You know, it's going to be two for two. I'm going to ask two people and I'm going to get two advertisers. No, you're probably going to ask 200 people and you're going to get two. They're the perfect two for you out of that group. It's going to take a lot of talking, a lot of working, that's a super big question now, right now. What do I charge, Dave? You charge what you can.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, it's, you know, people, I had LastPass sponsor my mobile app and I just threw out a dollar amount. The mobile app cost 200. And I just said, how about five? And I'll advertise with the rest of it. And they said, yeah. So you, like, is it worth it? I don't know. Is it CPM? I don't care. I threw out a dollar amount. That's they right. said, yeah. Right. That's, I think, the essence of Glenn the Geek's message was, I said a dollar amount. They said, yes, we signed the deal.
That's it.
And it's just that simple. And yeah. it's worth. So if you're asking the question, it's just like, what's your time worth? If you're an entrepreneur and you were, you know, you're a carpenter and you're out doing carpentry, what's that time worth to you? Well, when you get too busy, you're not charging enough. So you raise your rates.
Right.
If you don't have enough work, you lower your rates to get work, right? You have to spend some time in the field figuring this thing out. I think CPM is the same way, right? It works the exact same way. What's it worth to your advertiser? Throw out a fair price and see if they take it. If they do, think about charging more the next time around.
Absolutely. You know,
I did that with my podcast. You know, I do some podcast consulting and I started at a rate and every new customer I brought on was $5 more an hour. And I just did it until people said no.
Yeah. No. Basically. It.
Right. That's the way it works, guys. It's not rocket science.
Well, you mentioned your app. Ken Blanchard from blackmanwithagun.com says, what are your thoughts on apps for your podcast and blog? Here's the thing. I have an app for the School of Podcasting. It's called Podcast Tips. If you look at it, I think, but don't quote me on this, I think it's the schoolofpodcasting.com/app. I never promote it, and 31 people downloaded it last month. And that's an audience that's pretty technical. So, or maybe not, I'm not really sure, but, I think if my audience wasn't that technical, I would be more inclined to think about that. I know they're expensive, you know, and again, I now have to do my disclaimer. You can get one at Elipson for $10 a month more if you have so it's basically you have to have the $20 a month plan, plus then you go $10 more a month. So it's $30 a month plus your setup fee and your developer fee, which is a one time a year thing. Yep. So
Spreaker is 200, by the way, for each 200 or 100 per platform.
Yeah.
So it's a little more expensive if you want both Android and iPhone.
Yeah. So I think they're okay. I know I like the fact that if I wanted to, I could be I can send push notifications via my app, which is kind of cool. And there's contact and things like that. I think it depends on your audience, but, I know I'm always surprised when I'll get my report, here's how many people downloaded your app. And I'm like, what, six, you know, and it's like 31 people. And I'm like, really? Mm-hmm. So,
I get 10, Dave, to listen to the live show on my app every single week.
Yeah.
So, I mean, are those huge numbers? No. I mean, I have a small audience though. So, you know, yeah, it's like, hey, at least somebody's using it and it's kind of fun. And it was especially fun because I got a sponsor to pay for it.
It's even better.
I got a sponsor to pay for it. So, will they sponsor it next year? We'll find out. But I like, you know, if for me, I turned my show name. So homegadgetgeeks.com is the direct link to my mobile stuff. So that takes you to a page and it's one click mobile install from there. That'll take you to the mobile page and you can then just register for it. So that was an easy way because I don't use homegadgetgeeks.com for my podcast. You know, it's all at theaverageguy.tv. So that allowed, that freed me up to use that .com address for the mobile app. So pretty good that way.
Yeah. Ken's got a follow-up question here. Is the juice worth the squeeze then? Boy, that's,
I don't know what that means. What's he mean?
He's saying, is the $10 worth it?
Oh,
you know, if you're paying for that, that's
depends on your audience, right?
Exactly. I mean, it's
you. What are you trying to do with it?
And it depends on what you're doing with that audience. It's
right.
Kind of like, you know, if you can get a bunch of people and then, because you can also have, like with me, I can have bonus content, which I don't do, but I could have, you know, I could have bonus content, say, hey, if you have the app, it's here, and then have bonus stuff. You can have blog posts. With Libsyn, you can have things that don't go to iTunes. You can say, only send this to the app. So if you wanted to do bonus stuff, you know, all sorts of stuff like that. I got some good questions here about websites. Blair Warner asked, do you recommend a dedicated website for your podcast or is it page on the main site? I've seen people do this. They'll take, you know, both PowerPress and Libsyn and Smart Podcast Player. They have the ability to make a playlist. The bad news of that is the show notes are missing. So yes, I can listen to it, but when it says, hey, that article we mentioned on the Huffington Post, they're like, well, where is it? So you're missing out on Google juice because your show notes bring in Google juice. That's text. Yes, it's easy to listen to and easy to see, but I'm a big fan of having a post per episode. And there are a couple things which leads me to these tie in very nicely. Mike Dell asks, why would a podcaster not want their post mixed with their blog posts? Why would they not want their posts? I don't know, to be honest, because here's my whole thing on that is when you have your audio mixed in with your text, if somebody comes to your website and listens to that entire episode, Google is tracking how long you're on the website. So that gives you better Google juice. So that's one of the things. You can separate them with a category. You can say, click here to listen, click here to read. Jim, thoughts on?
Yeah, we do. We actually do this for Polling Matters, the podcast at Gallup. So the two other podcasts that we have there, they have we use a site, you know, we embed the stuff in there and there's an RSS feed and such, but Polling Matters doesn't have a site. It's just an RSS feed. And so far we have a couple hundred and 300-400 that listen to that every single week. Because Frank Newport, the guy who does the podcast, never refers to the show notes or go out and look at this. If he does say it, it's at Gallup.com. And it's a show that doesn't necessarily need a website. If it had one, would it help? Probably. Will we eventually do it that way? Yes. But in terms of expedience and with the, you know, his podcast is about the elections that are coming up. I couldn't get all that stuff done in time through the right channels at Gallup. So I'm just winging it. From a Spreaker standpoint. So all it has is a Spreaker page, and we still get pretty good audience engagement from that. And it's only a 12-minute podcast every week. So people are consuming it very, very quickly. I'm not sure having a site makes all that much sense. Would it help? Absolutely. Do you have to have it? We're finding no from that standpoint. So again, it's like, what's your situation? How are you going to work it? This, to Andy's point earlier, like, how do you podcast when you're limited on time? You start cutting things out. And if doing the post, the show notes is one of those things that's stopping you from getting it done, just cut it out. Like, no one says you have to have it. Is it best practice? Well, probably no. Could you do it? Could the hundreds of listeners that listen to Unleash or to Thematics still get their podcast? Yes, if you just cut out the show notes. So maybe that's one of those things that you cut out. I think you can, Dave.
All right. So on this next question, I'm actually doing it now as we speak. Randy asked, do you use live streaming on Periscope? Well, I'm actually Periscoping this question.
You get a bunch of people to jump in, right?
Yeah. So if you've never seen Ask the Podcast Coach, this is what I'm doing. Right. Here's my little play button and here's my mixer and there's Jim. And here's the chat room, which rocks. But
they can't hear me. This is the drawback to using this, right? They can't hear me. You have to kind of finagle. I turn my speed. We use Periscope for Home Gadget Geeks. I actually turn my speakers up to the point where it won't echo, but they can still hear the guest.
Yeah, I guess I could. So that's Ask the Podcast Coach. This is how I pull it off. I don't do a lot of Periscoping. I should. Now I should, because I've got a bunch of people that just joined. Now, I think it's people from the chat room are joining me on Periscope. But Yeah, I should do more periscoping. I did a couple for a while. I would get on and do rants and things like that. People love it when I rant, apparently. But that's to answer my question. Do you do a lot of periscoping, Jim?
We maybe once a month I'll do pre-show with Periscope and have I gotten people to come over and listen? I don't think sustainable. I mean, I think you can, we jump on Periscope like, hey, this is live on theaverageguy.tv/live. Join us. And I've had one or two people follow us over from Periscope to the live page. And a few of them have even stayed. Now, have I converted those into longtime listeners? I don't know. I don't do those kind of analytics, so I don't know. But I don't think if it's fun to do and you can add it into your workflow, why wouldn't you?
Yeah, what I should do is I should, and there are people here, oh, and it's letting me know my battery is low, so I'm going to kill my Periscope, guys. Sorry, it's killing my, so thank you, Periscope. What I should do is in the morning, because I usually come in and get a couple things. What are we going to talk about in case there's nobody showing up in the chat room?
Which never happens.
Yeah. And I could talk about that on Periscope, try to get people to come in, maybe get some things what people want to talk about. We talked about running out of time for stuff. I started playing with Anchor, and there's always times that I'm like, because I'll see where people leave me an answer on Anchor, and I'm just like, I'll have to get to it later. And so there comes a time when you just can't be everywhere. You know, so
but you can build efficient processes. This goes back, to what Annie was saying. How do you do all this stuff? You can build or set your audience expectation that can be something like, okay, I do Twitter at this time of night. So at 9 o'clock, I'm going to go and do all my back Twitter work and get that done. And because if you try and like some of us, I think I probably have 7 different channels that I have to check during the day of things that, of places people are trying to communicate with me. If I try to do them all at once, you can go nuts. I mean, just go crazy. So I try to batch process those a little bit sooner and not throw any of them out with the bathwater, right? When like I can't do Twitter, people say to me, I can't take on another social network. So maybe Twitter becomes once a week, right? Maybe you just do it on Saturday mornings. That's the thing you check in. Now, will that be effective? I don't know. Probably not. But it is one of those kinds of things that if you think smartly about your schedule, I think you can find the 5 or 10 minutes to interact with people. You're in, you're out, you do it once a day type deal.
Well, and it is something where you have to sit back and go sometimes. Would this be easier? An example, I thought about this last night as I was working on, because Ask the Podcast Coach is always, you get it a week after it happened. And I thought about this. I'm like, I could easily record this on Spreaker live, change my feed to look at the Spreaker feed and be done. Record it live and then go back later and add some show notes to it. And that would be it. That would be a little more efficient than what I do now is I basically listen. I cut out things where people can't get into the blab. I do some editing. But if I really wanted to, I could just do a one and done and there it is. Go.
And I think it'd be fine, to be honest with you that way. It'd be fine with me.
I get a little crazy sometimes with the...
Well, and it's nice. When I go back and listen to it, 2 weeks after we put these out, it takes you a week to put it out. And then I listen to it a week later. And I notice the edits that you make and it's like, oh, he cut that part out. Oh, he cut that part out.
Yeah,
I appreciate that.
I cut a lot out of last week's show. I was like, all right, let's take that out. Or if people come in and don't ask a question, that's gone. See you, bye.
Well, but it does. It is the one take wonder is a way to speed things up a little bit. And like you said, you can, the other thing you can do is or rank order what's important to you each week when you're thinking about what you're doing and say, okay, it's a minimum. I get the podcast in, done, and posted. And then if I have extra time, I do show notes. And then if I have extra time, I promote it on these channels. And then if I have extra time, right? And when Sunday comes, that episode is done. You don't come back to it. You don't improve it. You don't edit up. It's done. It starts fresh on Monday. And yeah, you're going to have some sporadic, it's going to be a little sporadic, but who cares? You're getting something done that way.
Yeah. Everybody's saying I should be more on Twitter. I should. I
why?
Because that's why? What my audience is saying. I don't know.
If they're connecting to you on Twitter and that's a great way to do, I don't know. Is your audience connecting to you on Twitter?
They do a little. Yeah. I'm always bad. I log into the tool. I use a bunch of tools for Twitter and I'll see where people have DM'd me or they've mentioned me and I'm like, wow, that was 4 days ago. And I'll always say thanks and things like, which is kind of boring on my feed because then you see me come in like every 4 days and go, thanks for listening. Thanks. Glad you liked it. Thanks. So I actually schedule those out. So there's not like 15 thanks for listening posts. But
Dave, the thing I do is I keep, cause I'm in the same boat. Right. And I need to keep track of my Twitter account. That's one of those things like I want. And when somebody tweets it, I want to see it right away. So during the day, I just have it up and I found another, sometimes it's easy for me just to answer them as they come in and not let them store up.
Cause that's a great
point. The opposite could be true as well. Right. Where if you let them store up, you get overwhelmed and whatever.
I forget
you're doing a little bit during the day.
I still use Hootsuite. There used to be another one that Twitter actually bought, but it was cool. You could have multiple lists and things like that. I could use Hootsuite for this now. TweetDeck. Thank you, Daniel. I could have that up in the background because that's the cool thing about working from home. You know, when I'm taking a break, I could go over and look at TweetDeck and see what's going on and save myself $10. I don't use Hootsuite for a whole lot. And that
try a couple different ways, right? Yeah. Try a couple different ways. See what works for you. And if your audience is there and you want to meet there, do it.
Yeah,
you know, it's one of those things. I found interestingly this week, somebody, one of our coaches was, I was chatting with him on Facebook Messenger, by the way, has become, I reach my audience a ton on Facebook Messenger, which is crazy. But she was like, oh, I heard Twitter's dead. I was like, what?
That's what? Funny.
Mike Phillips said they're declining, and that might be true at this point. The usage ebbs and flows, but it was just funny that I got that very first rumor of, oh yeah, Twitter's going to go out of business. Like they're far from going out of business.
Are they making any money yet though?
Twitter?
Yeah.
With Twitter advertising? I don't know. I have not looked at their numbers. They're pretty well backed.
Yeah. I know they are doing more advertising. I have noticed that recently. It seems like I can't scroll through too far without seeing a sponsor. And I don't mind that. I really don't. I'm just like, okay, about time you start making money.
Well, the thing is, okay, so what if Twitter does die? So what, right? There's plenty of other ways, you know, in a multi-channel universe where we can reach our audience using so many different kinds of that question of, should I use blank, right? Should I? Well, I don't know. Do a little testing with your audience and see if it works well. There are some podcasters who are doing great here on Blab or on, you know, using Periscope. But if it's not your thing, don't do it. You know, if you're struggling with it and you hate it, stop doing it. Like you're not going to be good at it if you hate it.
Yeah.
So it's just funny. It's the, what's that phrase? It's the fear of being left out that I think drives podcasters crazy.
That's right? It.
FOLO. Is that what they, fear of being left out? And so, oh my God, I saw that Mike Phillips was starting Periscopes. And so now I need to do Periscopes because I see Mike Phillips doing Periscopes every day.
I'm not on Snapchat yet. And everybody I know is like, it's the best thing ever. And I'm like, oh, that would be another thing I'd have to check. And I'll probably sign up for Snapchat today and then not play with it for 6 months.
No, don't.
So, but.
Don't do it. It's a specialized. But it is one of those things. Try it out. Like, give it a shot.
Yeah. See I figure I'll have an account. Can, I'll play with it and go, yep. I'll play with this later kind of thing. Speaking of later, it's later than you think.
Man, how did we blow through an hour?
I know.
It always goes too fast. Good thing we have post show for our awesome subscribers.
Yes.
Sorry, I've been over the top.
I love our awesome. Well, that's something that I should mention. You definitely want to go to askthepodcastcoach.com/awesome. I actually have two Patreon accounts. I'm going to close the first one because I'm constantly, because both of them say Dave Jackson. I actually put in different images so I could figure out who's who. That's not something. I think it'd be better to have one Patreon account that has weekly web tool stuff. It's got Ask the Pod. Here, just sign up for a monthly fee, whatever you want, and get a bunch of stuff that Dave puts back there because he thinks it's good. Now weekly web tools I can tell because there's no picture of me. And I think it says weekly web tools, but I have a Dave Jackson and then I have a School of Podcasting, which is you pay per video. And then I've asked the podcast coach, which is you throw in a monthly thing and I can just throw in whatever I want there. I don't have to worry about is this worth $1.50? I don't know. And I obsess over that. So yeah, I have three Patreon accounts, which is just insane.
Dave, but I do the $5 just because I want to be close to you.
I appreciate that, my friend.
Yeah, that's what I want to do.
But we are here every Saturday, askthepodcastcoach.com/live. It's live. So if you have to sneeze, it's going to happen. And we're here every Saturday. And thank you to the chat room. And thank you to Michael Ray for stopping in and not killing anybody in his garage. I appreciate that.
He could have killed somebody by now.
He could have. And so we will see you next week. If you're listening live, we're sticking around, but we're signing off to the podcast. So we'll see you next week with another episode of Ask the Podcast Coach.